rubber baby buggy bumpers. Rubber
baby I was buggy about to bumpers. Do something like that.
Murder, murder the bird.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
I don't think I've ever done any sort of voice warm ups before. So I'm just sitting here like, cheers.
She sells seashells on the seashore.
She sells seashells.
Fuck!
She get the first sell. Words out.
She sells seashells at the seashore.
At the seashore? I thought it was on.
On the seashore. Whatever.
What kind of wood would woodchuck chuck? A woodchuck could chuck wood.
Now that one I can't do.
A woodchuck would chuck a lot of wood if a woodchuck could chuck wood.
I can't do that one. I got the first part down. The second part, yeah. No,
I'd like to lick a lemon lollipop in Lilyhammer.
I have never heard
hey,
that one
you
before.
Do whatever you want with a Lilyhammer, sir.
That's a situational one.
Oh, get the recording going. Get the recording going.
All right, all right.
Oh, this goodness.
Welcome, Nostalgia Hunters, to another episode of Is It Cool or Just Nostalgia Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm also Mike.
Mandy.
Jeffrey.
No, you said Mandy.
I thought so, too.
I said Mandy.
We're joined by Mandy today. We used to have Andy, but this is his, you know, his brother Mandy. So
we have news for you today.
Andy now goes by Mandy.
Yeah, it wasn't that I just suddenly forgot my name. I heard Mandy, and I was like, he probably said, I'm Andy. I'm Jeffrey.
Okay, yeah, I lost my train of thought.
You got to start again.
And welcome again to Is It Cool or Just Nostalgia Podcast. We're here to separate the truly awesome from the rose-tinted nostalgia. And today's topic is the Super Bowl, which the Chiefs are totally going to this year, 100%. And if they don't, I'm going to look like a total fool. But
we should literally play a game in less than 2 hours.
That we are recording January 18th, so their very first game
against
in
the
playoffs and against the Texans. We're going to watch after we're done today. But yes, the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. Three-peat.
The first three-peat in history. We know it's going to happen. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about the Super Bowl, various topics from it. And of course, we're looking into the past. We're going to bring up things Super Bowl related and try to see if they still hold up today. I think since I kind of started off, why don't I bring up my topic first?
All right. Sounds good to me.
So today we are here, at least for me, to talk about the Puppy Bowl.
This is where champions are born, where dreams are made, and rivalries last generations. There's nothing in America as beloved as football. Well, there is one thing.
Puppies! Duh.
Ready?
Animal Planet's Puppy Bowl, a simulcast event, Sunday, February 9th at 2 Eastern.
It hatched from a football.
There you go. I mean, come on, can you get any cuter than that? Okay, so a little bit of backstory about the Puppy Bowl. It is a program put on by Animal Planet. Mm-hmm. It got its start in 2005. So not that long ago, but I still kind of put it in the realm of, you know, nostalgia. You could be nostalgia for it, I think. And it was originally cast as like a alternative to the Super Bowl, mostly for children. So that you can put it on the TV while the game's going on and they can occupy their time watching puppies doing stupid and cute things on a fake football field.
While mommy and daddy are watching the real entertainment on another TV?
Yes. And the funny thing is, it was originally supposed to just be a one and done kind of thing. It was just Animal Planet was doing an experiment and they thought it'd be a cool, you know, little show.
Who doesn't like puppies?
Yeah. And it turns out it was incredibly popular that year, so they decided to make it a yearly thing. Now, since then, you know, there's been multiple changes throughout the years, but since then, one of the biggest changes is that it now actually airs before the Super Bowl. So it doesn't exactly achieve its original goal anymore.
Not at the same time anymore. Yeah.
But it allows people who want to also watch the football game, it allows them to also watch the Puppy Bowl. So, you know, there's trade-offs. And what it is a bunch of animal shelters from around the country will bring in puppies that are available for adoption, right? They bring them to a location, They film the puppy bowl, and then while they're doing it, they try to advocate for adoption rather than breeding and whatnot. So there's a little bit of a kind of charity aspect to it as well. The games themselves, there is kind of like a football game that goes on during the puppy bowl, but it's very loose. What it is they basically put a bunch of dog toys out on the field, and the dogs will go in, and if they pick up a toy and bring it across the goal line, it's considered a touchdown. At any point, okay. There isn't like plays or anything like that. They've just got dogs going everywhere.
So what would be considered like a penalty? Do they have penalties?
When they I will get to that because the penalties are kind of the best part. So they got a bunch of toys around the stadium, and the dogs can pick it up at any time. If they ever get it across the goal line on any side, it's considered a touchdown.
So they can go either direction? Like, it's not like a touchback going
any,
the wrong way?
Any direction, because at least in the beginning there were no teams. However, nowadays there are teams. There's a...
Team Rough and Team Fluff.
Yes, you got it. Team Rough and Team Fluff are the teams that compete against each other. So, yeah, you got, you know, team goal lines that you now can get across. There's also the concept...
Do they wear jerseys?
No, they wear, like, bandanas around their neck.
Not even jerseys. More adorable.
Yeah, very adorable. There's also the concept of a field goal. I can't remember exactly how it works, but it's different from how they get touchdowns. There's also cases where you can have, like, a double touchdown, where if a puppy picks up a toy, goes across one goal line, and then goes all the way across the field and goes across another goal line, they get a double touchdown.
We're not even football anymore. Yeah. I don't even know if I can watch what? This.
What making me think of those, like, old NBA games, or not NBA, because the NFL games when, like, one of the players was so fast, he just ran it back and forth down the field just being silly.
Mm-hmm. Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl.
That's what I'm thinking of, yes.
Nobody could stop him.
Are the scores, like, insane, like 105 and... 89, like basketball scores, or are they like low scoring games?
I think they're usually pretty low scoring.
Okay.
Because a lot of times the puppies just want to play around on the field. They're not actually thinking about bringing it across a goal line. But it's kind of cool when they do, because they'll make a big fanfare about it. They'll, you know, do highlights and stuff. And one of the cool things about it is there's a referee who's really kind of like the host and kind of there to be a comedian and crack jokes.
Wouldn't it be
and stuff
a referee?
Like a woof, woof, I think
referee. There has to be puns involved.
I was literally sitting here and I was going to be like, okay. Is there a rough or I'm sorry, a ref? But I was like, well, they have team rough, so I didn't say it.
We got a penalty, it's roughing. Oh, speaking of field goals, if I had to make a guess on what a field goal would be, you know how dogs like will take something and will like toss it around with their head? If they toss it over the line, that would be a field goal, in my opinion, as to what that might be.
I think that's true. I think that's what it is. Now, also,
that'd be hilarious.
You were talking about referees. They do call them referees.
Oh,
the puppy bowl is big on puns. In fact, one of the best parts, like I said, were the penalties, and they try to make all of their penalties puns. So one of the biggest one is like when the dogs get in fights with each other, or you know, play a
the
little
wrestling.
Bit a little bit too rough. They
roughing
call,
the passer. No.
They call that excessive roughness. Roughness, and if they defecate on the field, which
that was
going to
be my question,
they call it excessive fertilization. if they get into the neutral zone, they call it a neutral bone infraction.
that if made me think something else. But
the
hey.
The ineligible receiver downfield is called ineligible retriever downfield.
Pretty good.
There's also some penalty calls that don't actually exist in football that they've put together. So there's the concept of pancaking. Where if a dog is tired and just decides to lay there and sleep the whole time.
That is absolutely a thing in football. Offensive linemen try to stop defensive linemen by not holding. But if they take them down, you can literally lay on them. It's called pancaking.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that was
an actual. That is an actual football thing.
Okay, well, I guess it's a real thing. Yeah. But yeah, in the puppy bowl terms, it's when a dog tries to sleep on the field. They'll get him out of the way.
That's adorable.
Yeah, yeah. But also every... year they elect a MVP or most valuable puppy. of the game.
Of course.
And starting in Puppy Bowl 11, they started allowing viewers to vote on who's the MVP. So that's kind of cool.
That's pretty cute.
So in other words, whichever puppy does the most action.
I mean,
doesn't matter.
Maybe there's a puppy, the somebody like, they fall in love with. They text, phone call, like use an online voting system, something like that.
I was googling.
Ryan Seacrest comes out.
Yeah,
call the number on the screen now. Place your vote.
I was googling that. Can you bet on it or not? And it looks like you can bet.
Of
on
course
it.
You can bet.
Because I was like, this would be amazingly fun. Did you bet on
Bet on which dog is going to drop a deuce on the field.
Get out of your underground or underdog app.
That's
an actual betting app.
Yeah. One thing I do want to...
Underdog sponsor us.
Since we did talk about dropping deuces on fields, I am the deuce, and I know a lot about this.
Yep.
You know a lot about dropping deuces on fields?
Yeah. That sounds like a whole other podcast.
I meant as far as the puppy poll goes. According to the stats on Wikipedia, is that when they are filming, the puppies will defecate or urinate on the field as frequently as every 20 seconds. And all but...
Like all combined, or each dog is doing it every 20
not
seconds?
Not each dog. Come on, well, what do you think they're doing?
But I was like, let me ask
there
you.
There's a lot of water and food there, you know?
There's so many... Well,
somebody's trying to pad the bets on underdogs, though.
They're feeding them laxatives before the game.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm assuming a lot of it's probably edited or something like that,
so I was
too.
About to say, so what they do is pretty much every time of the Puppy Bowl happens... All of those incidences are edited out except for one, because they want to at least have one excessive fertilization.
They want to have at least one televised coup.
Yeah,
so what you're saying is they're rigging the game. They're editing it to have whomever win that they want.
Yeah.
No, we get to vote on the MVP poo.
The most valuable poop. And so it's just some stats. In 2016, 315 plastic bags were needed to retrieve the feces, and more than 1,500 absorbent pads were used to clean up urination.
How do they decide which poo do they think is the most cinematic for TV?
You know what?
I'm assuming they comb through hours and hours of footage.
I'm sure there's a bit about it.
And somebody sitting there just like, okay, that's funny.
That one looks like
my
floating
life
hydrant.
Is horrid.
1 to 22 odds, I'm going to bet woof woof, one, number one gets the poo shot.
Yeah, the poo shot.
Oh, my God.
Okay, last thing I want to talk about is the halftime shows. So the Puppy Bowl does also have halftime shows, and it started with Puppy Bowl 2, so fairly early on, at the 1 hour and 15 minute mark, so around the same time that a Super Bowl halftime show starts, they bring out a big old scratching post and cat houses and bring out a bunch of kitties for the halftime show.
And then they fight?
They don't fight. They take the dogs away, and they bring the kitties in to do the halftime show. And all the kitties are also up for adoption. So it's giving the kitties just a little bit of fairness there, a little bit of showtime.
Yeah,
since they own the internet.
Yeah, if they brought the adult cats and then the puppies will be forever traumatized and never
so
never
clarifying
touch a cat.
Question. Did you say at the hour and 15 minute mark?
Oh, yeah, that's halfway
this
through.
This thing is almost 3 hours long.
It is as long as the Super Bowl is, and that started with the whole fact that the first one was meant to be an alternative to the Super Bowl, but they've just kind of kept it that way.
Well, I mean, think about this. There's a lot of other. Have you ever seen any of the other alternatives that they have to the Puppy Bowl for the regular season? All right, let you roll in.
So the Hallmark Channel has a pretty popular one called the Kitty Bowl, which theirs is just basically the opposite of the Puppy Bowl. I don't know if they have puppies coming.
Oh,
for the
cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Kitty Bowl.
I was thinking like just little kids running around.
That would
actually
be pretty fun too, just having little kids playing football.
Apparently, the Hallmark Channel though sold off the rights to the Kitty Bowl, and now it's no longer nearly as good as it was before. So now the Puppy Bowl is like the big event. But yeah, I think that's about all I wanted to say.
I was actually referring to the other stuff that channels have been doing during the regular season.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. There's been the Nickelodeon stuff where they have like the game being broadcast and like they'll have like Nickelodeon, I think like SpongeBob SquarePants, stuff like that, essentially doing the commentator work. Do like splats and stuff on the screen. It's like actually showing the real game, but it's got like an overlay and stuff like
that. Trying to get kids into it.
Like something that's a little bit more kid friendly that isn't a completely separate thing like the Puppy Bowl. And I'm like, I feel like that's kind of an offshoot of that.
Well, I mean, and I think that's a good thing too. It's just like, you know, if you want to watch football and you don't want to have to also worry about what the heck are the kids going to do the whole time, bring them into it. Find a way to bring them into it too, you know? So
yeah. The SpongeBob laugh, I just imagine like somebody getting cranny, like
I have seen some highlights of that, and some of them are pretty funny. And I never even watched SpongeBob or anything like that, but they're funny to me, then that means it's probably funny to anybody. Yeah, they do a pretty good job with that.
Yeah. So just to wrap up, Puppy Bowl. I actually went into this, into my research, thinking for me it was pure nostalgia. And I came out surprised. Like, there's a good thing that they're doing with trying to get dogs to be adopted and other animals to be adopted. And it's been going for 20-something seasons now. So I think, in my opinion, now it's cool. So, all right, who wants to go next?
I can go next. All right. So basically, my topic today is going to be about Super Bowl. Like, what does everybody here actually tune into the Super Bowl for? When your team, unlike ours, that's in the Super Bowl every year, what do you guys actually tune into who are not Chiefs fans? Because we know you're not tuning in to either win the Super Bowl or even be in the Super Bowl. Well, let's just get that out there.
Man, they hate us already.
Shots fired. So I just want to know, so much. The main thing people tune into, and I'm talking about non-football fans, pre-Swifty football, like non-football fans getting into football, what do you do? Because the Super Bowl is one of the most, it's one of the biggest things in the entire world in regards to like viewership numbers. So what do all those people tune in for? It's probably not for the game. They tune in for the ads.
The commercials.
The commercials, all that stuff, because what happens when you have the most eyeballs in the world on something? Oh, you want to advertise your products. And so you got to come with your A game for these commercials a lot of times. And there's been some great ones over the years. And so I just kind of wanted to go through a few of them that I actually really liked. And we'll start out with a company I'm not a huge fan of, but I think everybody knows this commercial. But
so pretentious.
Everybody knows it was broadcast for the first time during the Super Bowl.
For the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology, where each worker may bloom, secure from the pests of a contradictory.
If I recall, this actually came out in 1984, right? So that's why they're actually going with the 1984 theme.
Yep.
We are one people.
1984 being the book.
With one will, one resolve, one cause. Our hands shall talk themselves to death, and we will bury them with their own confusion.
Break free of your chains.
The mighty Thor.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
And a few years later, they will get rid of the guy who ran this company. And you'll see why the company won't be like the company anymore.
But then they'll bring it back.
Yeah.
I mean, this one was... I mean, imagine you're watching these commercials about, like, Coca-Cola or, like, whatever. Right. And then all of a sudden this comes on. It's like a mini movie. And you're like, what the heck is going on?
That is actually... It's funny. I think that I agree, pretentious. But I think that's what they're going for. Yeah. They're trying to make people talk about it. They're trying to make sure that people are engaged. I get it. It's actually brilliant marketing. Obviously, it worked because it's, you know, from 1984. And, you know, 40 years later, we're talking about it. And that's a pretty good job. So
yeah, I was one when this commercial came out, yet I've seen it.
Yeah.
You still see the same vein of marketing in Apple now. I feel like it is still, if you buy our device, you're a rebel, you're an artist.
Yeah. You're somehow different.
Just, even though if you're just watching movies on Netflix on the Apple device, it doesn't matter. If you buy it, you're an artist. That's what you're buying into.
All their advertising is about, like, you know, the culture of
having Apple products. But anyway, not to turn this into an Apple thing, but where's we got quite a few other commercials that are pretty good. Anybody remember the movie Space Jam?
Oh yeah.
The what actually inspired Space Jam was a Super Bowl commercial.
Oh really?
Really? Yeah. Called Hair Jordan.
What's all the racket? What's up? Chuck. I was only kidding. Gruesome, ain't it? Of course you know this means war.
This means war.
Air Jordan and Air Jordan.
What'd you expect? Elmer Fudd?
Nice shot.
Nice shot.
This floors him every time.
Got lovely handles.
Shorts.
Anyone know where that ended
this
up?
Could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
That's all, folks.
Well, that's my line.
So yeah, that's another commercial where this actually inspired a movie that ended up being pretty integral to a lot of kids' childhoods. Like, I know so many people who absolutely loved Space Jam growing up.
I didn't know the origin. Like, I didn't know that this is what inspired it. And it's kind of funny too that, like, we're talking about a football game, and here comes a commercial with basketball and the biggest basketball.
And it actually influenced people's lives. Yeah. Like a commercial from a Super Bowl, like in like the Apple one, same thing, because they still had that same mentality, same art, like kind of what you're referring to. And yeah, so it makes it pretty interesting. And speaking of that, another thing there's a few of these. This one is my absolute favorite. Office speaking of influencing office culture, I don't know if this one specifically has it, but you know, you kill the Joe, you make some more.
When we asked Reebok to send us Terry Tate, some people thought we were crazy. But I'm a firm believer in paradigm breaking, outside the box thinking.
Hey, buddy.
And since Terry's been with us, our productivity has gone up 46%. We're getting more from our employees than ever before.
You know you need a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Richard. That ain't new, baby. Hey, Janice.
What's really interesting is how Terry's become part of the Felcher family. He fits right in here.
A long distance call, Doug.
To be honest, I wish Reebok sent us 10 Terry Tates.
I don't want to play a game scheme. Well, when it's game time, it's pay time, baby.
Woo! Oh, I love those so much.
This
is the quintessential Super Bowl commercial. Bring some football into the commercial. Mm-hmm. Make it freaking hilarious and energetic. And make lots of money.
Yes.
Like that, you can't get much better than that.
Yeah, yeah. No, and like just the Terry Tate, I don't know, we've all worked in an office, so we all know this, but anybody else who's worked in an office, Terry Tate is just hilarious because a lot of these situations, or some of the situations, especially in the other commercials you come across, like somebody like takes the last little bit of coffee and then doesn't start another pot. Ooh, that's actually one of the things I hate when I'm in the office and somebody does that. Terry Tate makes sure that doesn't happen.
I have never once had to experience that ever.
What's it? Really?
Yeah, because coffee. Cause
you don't drink coffee. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Please bring up at least one of the Budweiser commercials.
Oh yeah, there's the Budweiser, there's the Buzz. We'll do the What's Up because this one, a lot of people, even though it's like for, it's pretty old. We'll end up on the screen. Oh yeah.
Hello. Hey, who? What's up? Nothing, B. Just watching the game, having a bud. What's up with you?
Nothing. Watching the game, having a bud.
True. True.
What's up?
Yo, you're picking the phone.
Hello.
What's up?
What's up?
Yo, where's Dookie?
Yo, Duke.
Yo, Dookie.
Yo.
What's up?
What's up?
Hold on. Hello? So what's up, B?
Watching the game, having a bud.
True. True.
Yeah, that was a class. There's actually, a while back, I saw the video, that guy who's actually the first guy you see, he's actually, I believe, a director and writer or something, and this was one of the things that he did, and the whole story behind how this thing all got set up was pretty, it's not for this talking session, but it's actually pretty interesting, and yeah, so look that up at some point in time.
Me and my friends at school would just constantly quote this commercial. I feel like at some point in my life, I had the entire commercial memorized. And I think it's at a point where it's old enough. I think it's worth bringing back. I think Budweiser should
Oh yeah, I think so. I think that would actually be pretty good. They could definitely milk that a little bit more if you want to be cynical. But I'd be all for it. One of the last ones. I'm gonna show two more out of these. So Boss Baby stuff like that. Had to have, and I don't have any confirmation for this, had to have been inspired from like something like this.
The E-Trade Baby
from the Super Bowl ad.
No, this is tragic, man. Investors just like you could lose tens of thousands of dollars on their 401k to hidden fees. Thankfully, E-Trade has low-cost investments and no hidden fees. But, you know, if you're still bent on blowing this fat stack of cash, there's a couple ways you could do it.
Professional stunts don't attempt.
Yeah.
I have to say, looking at all the tabs you pulled up for commercials, I'm disappointed in you that you missed one that I think is amazing. Uh-oh.
Which one's that?
I believe it's a Volkswagen Passat commercial.
That sounds absolutely boring.
Volkswagen Passat, Darth Vader.
Oh, that sounds, of course. That sounds slightly
better. Are you sure that happened during the Super Bowl?
I'm positive that was the first time it aired.
It's too recent. This shouldn't count.
This was also like 15 years this ago.
We're in 2011. I don't even want to know, but
2011 was like last year,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, no, it was 15 years ago. There are kids in high school now that are born that year.
Of course, the fun part is like, make sure you keep talking over this music, otherwise YouTube will get mad at us.
Yeah,
let's keep talking.
Yeah, we want to make sure
Dad shows up in his Passat. The kid is all upset because can't do the Force. Like, get out of the way, Dad. I got to try something else.
I wonder how the cost of this Super Bowl commercial was divided up. It had to be a collaboration between. I guess, did Disney own?
No, it would have been Lucas.
Was
still
it Lucas?
Back then, yeah.
Back then, and Volkswagen.
Yeah. Okay, that was cute.
I remember that one.
I don't remember that one, but I might have also been. There's a couple of years where I probably just didn't catch the Super Bowl because I was
whatever year this one played, I think it was like the most popular one that everyone talked about.
But yeah, that one's pretty good. But of course,
since you mentioned the cute baby, I was like, you can't have the cute baby without
the
that.
Kid.
You
know?
My personal favorite, Betty White. Yeah. Rest in peace, Betty. You were an absolute gem of a human being. And your commercials for this, amazing. That looks so real.
Mike, what is your deal, man?
Oh, come on, man. You've been riding me all day.
Mike, you're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend says.
Baby. Yeah.
You Snickers. Better?
Better. I'm all bet.
That hurt. You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
And she did a whole string of those commercials, but apparently that was the one that was during the Super Bowl, and I absolutely love all those commercials. And that's kind of like my humor, I guess. So anyway, as far as like, do I think these are like nostalgic, or if I think they're still cool, I think it's going to boil down to individual ones. Some of those are going to be like, for me, like going, yeah,
what
I know
year,
that we're,
you know,
yeah, like what them. Year, like the what's up, like we might have some people watching this or listening to this and they'd have no idea what that is. So that's going to be probably like, oh, that's got to be nostalgia. But for me, I love it. I still like it. If somebody called me up and said, what's up? Do you know what I would do immediately right back to them? What's up?
Right.
Without hesitation.
Okay. So I just want to ask a question. When it comes to voting on this later on, are we going to vote on these commercials that you brought up and, you know,
individually?
Yeah.
We could if we did it like rapid fire.
Not individually. No, no. I just like vote on the ones that you brought up in general.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Okay.
I'm okay with
or
anything.
Or do we want to just vote on the topic of
just Super the concept Bowl?
I think it just needs to be the concept of.
The concept of Super Bowl commercials.
I guess so. Just make it simple. Let's just do it all in a whole.
Like, as a whole.
As a whole. Yeah, okay. I wouldn't mind rapid firing on a few of these, but man, let's just do it as a whole. Keep it simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can go next.
Or you want to go next? We're going in semi-circle. We're going in semi-circle. Do it.
We have an order today, apparently.
Actually, knowing what your topic is, the order actually almost kind of makes sense. I'll explain in a minute.
All right.
When I get to my topic.
Okay.
So, clearly, I don't know what these first two words
are. Why are there pictures of
a specific dog?
Dog.
Andy, we already talked about Puppy Bowl.
Exactly. I'm like, this is so interesting. But first of all, my topic is halftime shows. And specifically, I want to talk about Michael Jackson's halftime show. I think the one that really is the marker, the beginning of like what halftime shows became, like this big spectacle.
I'm incredibly intrigued how we get from this to Michael Jackson.
We will get there. So initially, I wanted to dig into, because with my background, I didn't watch a single Super Bowl until like 2010s, somewhere in there, where that's like the first few ones that I watched. And I was also mostly watching it for the ads. I don't know the teams. I didn't care for the teams. Years later, it turned into like, I'll pick one based on the uniform, what I like that night. And that's the team I'm supporting. And I'm watching it.
I'm in a green mood today.
Yeah.
It's so innocent. I love it. Yeah.
Right? Also, like, the places I stayed, it was like Dallas. Cowboys sucked then. Still do. And then...
Hey, they were good in the 90s.
I wasn't there in the 90s, though,
yeah, that's
right?
Pure nostalgia right there.
They were like, hey, this team's the most... It's the most expensive team and the greatest team. And I'm like, but they suck. What's the point? Like, you know... And then before that, it was the Cardinals because of the Arizona. Yeah. And so finally come to Chiefs. And then I think it turned into me and my wife still watching it and going like, the purple looks good tonight. So let's watch that.
When did you move to Kansas City?
Late 2016.
Okay, is that when you kind of got into the Chiefs as well?
I was kind of like, yeah, let's talk more about Chiefs and... really more concerned with Chiefs once I started in my new workplace with you guys.
So more concerned with Chiefs when they started winning?
Hey, come on.
Hey, 2016, they had good teams all through those years. They just didn't have the teams we have now.
It's coincidence.
Yeah.
It's just a coincidence.
No, it helps. Obviously, I'm not...
It's not wrong.
I didn't grow up here. And I was watching them, but if they're good, obviously the city's more concerned. Patrick Mahomes, news about him, his family, is going to have a kid. Oh, he had a kid. All those things are like my wife would bring gossip home about like, hey, this is what's happening with the Chiefs. Because it's one of those cities where it's so integrated. But yeah, that's when I really started watching the football part of it as well, alongside the ads. Halftime show for me was like, oh, I'm just going to go watch something else. I don't care about
it's break time. It's time this to break hit time. The restroom.
I don't care. The artist, refill our cheese dip. Whatever. Like, you know? Yeah. So that's why I picked it, because I was like, I want to really understand, like, what came from. Where did all of this come from? So first, originally, halftime shows came from collegiate football. Early, like, 1907, 1910s. I didn't know that. And because college football was much bigger than professional football. Professional football, no one cared. Because you have to run a club and pay salary and keep them. College football is free. You don't have to pay the players. They just go to your school. Mm-hmm. And
probably
there was
before everything was more linked up, too, I would think.
Yeah.
But back then, it's like you're supporting your local college's team.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, the pathway to
professional.
Because
not everything's televised back then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you need franchises to exist for a long time to, like, build the passion and things for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, but how did halftime shows get involved?
It was just the parade. Their local banding.
Marching band. Okay.
The marching band would come out, do something, and that's what they did. So the first team to do a halftime show in professional football is the Orang Airedale Indians, where, except for the Indians part, rest of it is just the name of a dog breed. Here's the thing. So there's this guy who was the top breeder of this dog. Like, he would sell, like...
Is it this guy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That might be a little...
General Chit Chat.
No, that's not it.
So, that's an interesting name, you know?
No, no, no. So Walter Lingo is the guy who is the one who was breeding these dogs. These dogs were very famous. He was selling thousands of them in a year.
Found by native Walter Lingo?
Yeah, Walter Lingo the guy whose kennel was making these dogs. And so his idea was, I need something to promote my dogs. So he's like, I'll make an NFL team, naming after them. And he needed a hook. And he's like, I'll make a whole Native American team. And the literal team members.
Which were big back then.
Which they were. And he went and found Jim Thorpe, who was like Jordan is now, or some of those big names in professional athletes. He was a big name and had played for the Giants and was in the Olympics and all those things. And he was a Native American. So he brought him as a coach and player. And so you see that team. So the main thing was, at the halftime, the show was bring out the dogs and do a show promoting the dogs.
And that's why we have the Puppy Bowl. It all makes sense.
It all makes sense. And it was that dog breed that was like this dog you would take with you on hunting and would be like this, the terrier, which would help you in hunting and play that role. And so that was his idea, and that became the first like halftime show. They had one of the team members who would wrestle a black bear. Like, literally. Like, these were the things that would go on. All the players were also workers of the kennels. They would build and maintain and take care of the dogs.
Oh, wow.
And then go play games. There is some, obviously, racism bits involved here, because the Native American folks were trying to get away from the image of, like, they're savages and they're gonna... Walter Lingo, the dog breed owner... He was like, I'm going to lean into this. He's like, they're coming for your scalps. Like, that's the kind of publicity he would do.
Well, I mean, just look at the screen there. Yeah. Home of the Orang Indians, NFL's most colorful franchise.
Yeah. As in, like, controversial.
So, yeah. This team...
Sounds like wordsmithing to me.
Yeah. Lasted for just, I think, like, 2 or 3 years.
Were they any good?
And the Great Depression hit, and no one wanted to buy dogs that... He bought the team for $100, and each dog cost $150.
$150 back then?
Back then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were not cheap, and he was selling thousands of them a year.
Was he selling that many before he had the football team?
Kind of, yeah.
Then why in the world did he really need the football
team? He needed something to travel city to city. He was one of the first pioneer folks who was like, if I put my name on the jersey and take him around, my name's going to be big. The team did terribly. They didn't do that great. But they were also one of the first teams that had like a training camp and doing actual training. Because usually teams were like people had jobs and then on the weekend they played. This team just working on dogs and working on the show meant that they had to actually work out pretty hard.
Full time.
Because teams would like just take a rest in the halftime. This meant all the players were part of the halftime show. They would bring the dogs out, run around with the dogs.
Gotta get every ounce of money out of people.
Yeah. You say something.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I didn't catch that. Like, what you were saying there's like, but it says right there, like, I guess the entire team was comprised of Native American Indians.
Yeah. Yeah. The first team, it was all that. Yeah. There was their publicity point of like, it has to be unique. He just didn't want another run of the mill.
So is that how he got his marketing done, where he'd bring in kind of a terrible football team to a place, and essentially it'd be like, hey, you all came here, we played terrible, you guys can all talk about that, but we have all these dogs here, too.
Yeah.
And then that ended up selling a bunch of dogs because they're talking about that, too. So that's kind of genius. So the money was actually in the dogs, but the marketing was in the team.
Yeah.
There's always money in a banana stand.
Banana stand. So
smallest community ever to have.
Yeah. Less than 1,000 people. I think it was from a town of, it's in Ohio, like 700 people. So to this day, no franchise has existed in a smaller place than that.
So from this,
from this
to what we have today,
to overtime, it went on. Halftime shows were still mostly parades, mostly Disney-themed things. Like, what is the theme? Arabian Nights, Winter Night, this night. Those kind of themed, still kind of parade-y, like what you would see at the Disney park.
Very family-friendly.
Family-friendly. And I say Disney a lot because they, for I think even decades probably, were big sponsors and the ones who took care of it. And they were past their prime singers who came and sang at these things. Mm. It wasn't about the halftime performer. It was a show, and then there was a performer at the end. The real change came with the New Kids on the Block in 1991 being the first like contemporary pop artist coming and performing.
Huh.
And that did like a whoop, like they got a bump. And they're like, oh, this is pretty good. They were still, CBS still didn't get it right. Fox, if you guys remember Jim Carrey's show In Living Color.
In Living Color.
Yeah. Oh, I love so, that.
Fire Marshal Bill.
So it, 1992, right? There was some stupid winter theme again. Gloria Estefan was the last singer closing it. What Fox did was they put at the exact halftime show, they put In Living Color show, which would be a parody about this. They put a timer literally saying, like, in 30 minutes, you can go back, watch this. And 22 million people just tuned into In Living Color show and left the Super Bowl show wow. watching. And so there they were like, okay, like, we need to, like, really. Gloria Estefan was there, pretty big name, but still it wasn't like, they're like, okay, we need this to be a spectacle. We need, like, a headliner. And that's where they go to, okay, Michael Jackson.
Who's the biggest guy we can get?
And Michael Jackson isn't, like, still in, like, the prime still. He's, like, going, like, he has a new album going to come out. I think it was Dangerous coming out. It's 1993. And they figure out, okay, if we can work with Michael Jackson and get this in, no one's going to tune out from a Michael Jackson show. It's all set up. Michael Jackson has a lot of ideas. They initially, Jackson was like, I'm going to do all my new songs in the new album. And they were like, no, 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 please, you got to do some hits.
Got to get some
And he was pleasers. Like, okay, I'll do like Jam and Billie Jean, Black and White, kind of were like the new ones. And then, you know, he did the We Are the World kind of thing and other bits that were newer ones that he did. And then he said, hey, I want $1 million for this show. And they were like, NFL's like, we don't pay halftime performers. Did you guys know that?
Oh.
To this day, they don't pay any halftime performers. $0.
Really? Wait, no, still to this
really?
Day.
To this day.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
And they're like,
I would think it must go all the way back to him, though, because, like, if you think about it, like, if they didn't pay him, he went there and he still performed, unless they did pay him, if you're going to get to that. People might look at it as, like, well, it's exposure on national TV. That's payment enough.
That is so one of the words, like, I'll pay you an exposure.
I was about to say, this
like,
is the one case where you can pay an exposure.
I guess.
Exactly. They were like, hey, man, it's going to be millions of people watching. And he's like, I'm Michael Jackson. Millions of people watching. And then he's like, it's going to be.
And he's like, I'm Michael Jackson. Millions of people. Sorry.
Every time you want to be Jackson, just jump in. Okay, just jump in.
Yeah.
Our resident impersonator. Yeah.
Like, no. And then they said, oh, no, we're going to broadcast this in 100 countries. And that's when he was like, oh, okay, I'm not going to do shows there. So, okay, I get it. And then they asked for $1 million, 92, pretty big number.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we don't pay. And they were like, this is Michael Jackson. What are you talking about not paying? They figured something out where they're like, okay, we're donate to your LA this thing, we're donate to your the World Fund thing that he had. So they donated $100,000 here, $100,000 here for his charity things. So he was like, okay, that's fine. Another thing they don't pay is the dancers. The people who dance are actually recruited dancers. They send out to local companies, professional studios saying, we need dancers, several hundreds of these guys. Wow. And it's volunteer dancing until recent years when they finally settled and say, okay, fine, we'll pay you $15 an hour, because it would be over the weeks several rehearsals that they would have to go to the stadium or a tent near the stadium and do that.
God, you wouldn't think you'd want to rely on a whole show that's a spectacle in front of a live audience
with volunteers
who may or may not show up because they're not being paid. So, or if they just like flake out or anything, there's nothing on the line basically. And I'm just like, that's
Okay, mm-hmm. but if you had the chance to be in a exactly. Super Bowl halftime show, yeah. I would so no. be like, I
unless
would
totally... I'm going to be prominently shown, you're going to see me on TV and see my face.
Well, yeah.
Why do I care that I'm? Oh yeah, I'm one of the 500 people. My head's out there somewhere. I don't know which one I am. Like,
oh,
I would do it up to a point of where if it required multiple weekends, hours and hours of rehearsal, I'd probably just be like, yeah, I'm not even featured on it. I might not even be on TV. I don't care, and just walk.
No,
like I probably wouldn't. I'd probably do it, but if it came down to it, like it was really annoying, and the people that were trying to direct you were really terrible to work with, and you weren't having a good time, I'd be like, I don't care, and I don't care if your show gets messed up, because
yeah.
like, you're being terrible. So here we go. You're not even paying us.
If it's something simple, and you just gotta be like, oh, you have to be on the field, and you just like hold this up or something like that.
Oh yeah,
cool. Yeah, okay, fine. But if it requires all this like planning and
professional
you know, learning
dancers?
Choreography and all this stuff for weeks. Hell no.
See, yeah. I'd do it. I'd do it even if I wasn't like prominently featured. I would do it just for the story, just to say I did.
You have to be local.
Where's
first
your proof?
Of all.
Yeah.
Right.
I could tell you right now I've been in a Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, okay.
Where's your proof?
The proof is that the proof is you haven't said it already. That's the proof.
Yeah. So you're saying anyone who's in a halftime show is just like everyone make hi, I'm Jeffrey. I was in a halftime show. Hi, I'm Jeffrey. I was in a halftime show. Hi, I'm Jeffrey.
I would believe
Hell
you that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right, go ahead.
Sorry,
Andy.
Keep going, Andy.
Yeah.
Go.
So he's set up. They're not going to pay him. He realizes that. It's like if Apple, a few years ago, Apple sponsored the halftime show. They give $50 million. $15 million goes to the show, and $35 million NFL kind of takes it.
We rewind for 1 second. Did you say that the performers don't get paid? But somehow the NFL is getting paid for the performers to give them free shows.
Mm-hmm. The ultimate.
Come on.
These are the ultimate business people.
Oh, yeah.
They've got Still. It worked out. Well, look how college
hey,
football.
Mr.
Look
at huge artist. I will let you pay me millions of dollars to come and perform for me.
What do you think? Hey, college sports. Hello.
Well,
for how long? Over 100 years before anybody started getting paid?
It is literally paid in exposure. Everyone's Spotify things and numbers and sales go up immediately afterwards after they do a halftime show.
Yeah, I was fine with that, but the fact that they're paying the NFL to be the allowed the gracefulness to... Yeah. Sorry, go
No, ahead. They didn't pay it, but like, yeah, they settled in, everything's set. He's going to do it. But he has a deal with the director where he says he starts... the whole show is 12 minutes. The first 90 seconds, he does nothing. So there are two Jumbotrons. Two Michaels pop up on top of those Jumbotrons. They're like, they show a video of someone going up, and then Michael's clones pop up. And then he jumps off from like this boosted thing onto the stage. He's like 8 feet in the air, and he lands. And then you see that pose in that army thing that he's wearing, vest. He stands like that for 90 seconds.
Got to build up the drama.
Yeah. That's like $15 million of like ad revenue. Like, God, like he just stands there. And he's told the director, you cannot play music until I touch my sunglasses and take them off. That's when the song starts. And he's like, you got to make them wait. You got to make the crowd wait. And so he just was like, I'm going to, feeling the energy, I'm going to move when I want to move. And he just stood there for like 90 seconds, just like this, like a statue. And that's the power he had. Then he performed the songs. In the middle, he got a wand out, and he would point at the stadium and go like this. And everyone would held up cards, and it's like different kids of different races pictures would like form all over, which was pretty cool at that time. I think it was also one of the first where like music and halftime shows were the first time place where music and fireworks were synchronized and done together as well. So... he does it. It becomes the greatest thing ever. I think I read somewhere where they said more people got into the stadium for the halftime show than for the actual game.
Wow.
They were like, let's beat the traffic and go for the halftime show.
Some of the halftime shows have been pretty great.
Yeah. And well, so there he did. He got, I think, 130-something million views, which they still is the biggest
one. I was
one
of them.
You were one of them?
This is the earliest halftime show I remember watching live as a kid.
I did not see this
live. I also remember watching this live as a kid.
Assuming it was live, I watched it on TV, and I don't know if there was a delay back then on this one or not, but live on television, yeah.
Yep. And the ad rates for next year went up by like 40-50% after this. Like Michael Jackson's going to be there, so this many eyeballs are going to get on it. So everyone wanted to advertise on it. So the ad craze of halftime and Super Bowl also got established because of him. For me, this was the beginning where they realized, like, oh, we need to, like, halftime needs to be its own thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we have the game, and then we have halftime, and then we have ads. Like, now there's, like, three-pronged
things. Three pillars.
Like, three pillars that hold up the Super Bowl.
Isn't the Super Bowl halftime longer than normal games? I'm pretty sure to accommodate the show, I think the halftime instead of, like, normally... Instead of, like, it's normally 10 minutes. But yeah. I think a Super Bowl halftime is like 20 or 25 minutes or longer.
I'd have to, because the show
itself is usually 10 plus minutes.
Yeah.
But they also got to build up the stage, get all that stuff out there, then get it off. So, yeah.
And when you're talking about like a superstar, performance, like 25 minutes is still incredibly short. Like, it's crazy. Just the thought and the planning that must go into.
But that's not just the performance. That's also the taking the stage out there, getting it set up, and then breaking down.
The actual performance is like 10 to 15. That's probably where they put in the ads, and they also have a little bit of the halftime commentary because they still got to have the commentators talk about the actual game. And you just got 30 minutes of just you get it all.
No, more time for ads.
Yeah,
more revenue.
There's always, of course, more time.
They're
for
setting
ads.
Up. So in terms of, I'm still in between whether it's nostalgia or cool.
What are we judging? Michael Jackson's performance?
Michael Jackson's performance, or just that as a halftime show.
So just specifically his performance, not halftime in general.
Not halftime in general.
If he came back to life and performed again that same show today, would it be cool?
I'd be like, you're alive?
We knew it!
How's Tupac?
I'd be like, what?
That island you guys hang out on. I know you're all out there.
So for... In my head, I'm still in between if it's... I'm looking to you guys to, like, pick, is it cool or nostalgia? Because, yeah, it set the template. But after that, there have been some really cool high-production ones.
But if we can't talk after that for voting. If we're saying cool or nostalgia specifically on his halftime show...
Yes, his halftime
show. It doesn't matter what came next. But so are we doing just his halftime show?
Just to think of it in context.
In context.
What he means is, like, if it were to happen today, would it still stand up against all the other cool halftime shows we've had?
Okay, I can do that. Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like, is it still cool, or we like it because it's the first time that, like, it... Because Michael Jackson's had amazing...
If you would have picked almost any other Super Bowl show outside of a couple, I probably would have been like, I'd have to actually watch it again. That one I remember, so I'm good. Yeah.
It's okay. All
right, so I mean,
we're right back.
If you don't really know whether you'd really go nostalgia or cool, that's fine because you know we'll obviously
I'm struggling to decide on that one. Whether it's do I like it just because it's like the first thing, or do I think it's still cool because the performance was amazing?
Well, we can cover our votes here in a second. Yeah. But here's the reason I said that it's perfect. We did this order, right? So. Mm-hmm. Your Puppy Bowl comes before the game. During the game, we have commercials. Mm-hmm. To break the two halves, we have the halftime show. And at the end of the Super Bowl, it has become a tradition to say, I'm going to Disney, whoever the winning MVP is. So that's what I'm talking about. The whole idea of I'm going to Disneyland or I'm going to Disney World or whatever. So... It's been going on a lot longer than I realized. The very first time it happened was in the 1987 Super Bowl, which was Super Bowl 21, with the quarterback Phil Simms of the New York Giants.
Yep, he's still a commentator today.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he was reportedly paid like $75,000 to do this commercial. Where they're just like, you know, Phil Simms, you just won the Super Bowl. What are you doing next? And he's like, I'm going to Disney World.
So this was a commercial.
And it kind of picked up from there and has continued almost every single year since then. And sometimes they say I'm going to Disney, and sometimes it's Disney World or Disneyland. What they typically do is wherever the Super Bowl's being played, whichever park it's closest to, that's the one they say.
So, is this something Disney's paying for them to say, or is it just become a thing?
Guerrilla marketing. It's absolutely they're paying them to say it.
Okay.
It's their marketing, because then it's typically the winning team, and it's typically the MVP of the winning team. And the very next day, they will actually be at whichever of the Disneylands they were closest to, and be in the big like Main Street parade. So they're actually part of the whole like the spectacle of Disney. So they're not just saying it; they actually have to go there and film themselves.
I didn't know that the next day they're there.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. And that's part of why they like whichever land they're closest to is typically where they go, because then it's they can get there faster, But I found it funny that I did see that in 1987, supposedly, I mean, there's no actual facts to know exactly what was paid, but supposedly, Phil was paid $75,000. Lately, though, apparently Disney is now reportedly offering $30,000 to athletes and other stars for participating in ads to say they're going to Disney. And I'm like, $30,000 today, $75,000 in 1987. I'm like, that's a huge... Whoosh!
Yeah, the worst inflation.
Yeah.
You say they're having multiple people say that?
Yeah, I'm getting to that too.
All right,
but yeah, just the fact that it's like it's now what 40 years later, and it didn't even stay the same. Like it dropped. I mean, don't be wrong. 30 grand is nothing to sneeze at. I'll take 30 grand and say I'm going to Disney.
It seems cheap though.
But
my God.
By comparison, with
especially since most likely the MVP is going to end up typically being a quarterback a lot of times, and they probably made more money to actually say like from their salary to say that phrase than what they got paid to say that phrase.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From their just regular salary, like it's.
I thought you were going to say $1 million or something.
Yeah.
No. Hey, what I found is now 30 grand. Now, again, are some people paid more? Is it actually 30 grand? There's no way for me to know. Disney's not paying me this money. I pay money to Disney to go see him. But yeah, it's like, even if it was like still 75 grand today, you'd still be like, man, where's the inflation? But the fact that it's even less, I was just like, wow, okay. But commercials generally star a single NFL player. And like I said, immediately following the Super Bowl, they actually go down there. But it's not only the NFL that's been doing this. There, since the very first one that happened, there has been some of these from NBA stars, MLB, NHL, FIFA. I believe it was just the women's teams, though. Like, I don't think any of the men's teams have done it. And these I found funny. Not only Olympic competitors, but the America's Cup Sailing Competition and Miss America. They've also participated in this and getting paid to say I'm going to Disney.
Diverse.
Yeah. But yeah, I even pulled up the list of every single time every year, who said it, and what team they're playing for. And since 1987, it's happened every single year except 2005 and 2017.
And the obvious question is why?
I didn't get a chance to see why not in 2017. One of them, I know a player was given the option of saying about Disney or like dedicating something to like the Gulf War or something like that.
Mm.
And like I'm not a historian, so I don't know exactly when that happened, but I was like, I thought that was before 2005, or was that in 2005? So that might be why that one was skipped.
I believe it was before.
The Gulf War is in the 90s.
Yeah. I thought it was like earlier too. So that's what threw me. And I was like, I saw it said it was, he said the Gulf War, but I was like, but it says 2000.
It
didn't have anything listed for 2005 and 2017.
I was about to say, it's like, that sounds like the time frame for Iraq.
We were in Iraq.
We were in Afghanistan, Iraq, and stuff like that. That time, I'm not exactly much of it.
It could also be just that maybe my list that I found of everyone that did it was incomplete. Those are the only 2 years that were missed. But there was a story about somebody doing that, and I was like, but the Gulf War, wasn't that before that? So,
there's a Gulf War to rename the Gulf of Mexico.
Maybe. But what I also thought was funny is in the early years, it's like the same few teams at the Super Bowl, like every year, sounds like history repeating itself. But it was essentially the Giants, the Washington Redskins, which are now the Commanders, or the 49ers, like every year for a while, until finally the Dallas Cowboys got there. But it was like kind of back and forth between those handful of teams for quite a while. But the most it's ever been said by a single player has been four times, by Tom Brady because he's been the MVP so many times.
Yeah, he's seven Super Bowl wins.
But whatever. He's also the only player, because multiple players have been there multiple times, but he's the only player that said the I'm going to Disney for more than one team.
Oh, yeah, for the Bucks. Yeah. Play for the Bucks.
Yep.
Yeah.
So when he beat us.
Yeah. You had to bring it up.
Yeah.
But it still hurts. I bring it up for a reason. I'll get there in a second, though. But so Tom Brady, the last time he did it when he was with the Bucks, he actually said it with Gronkowski as well. It wasn't just him. It was both of them. But the reason I bring up that he has said it the most is because after February 9th, Patrick Mahomes will likely also have said it four times.
Oh, so he might tie the record.
But yeah, no, it's what Disney loves to do. It's like everything is some kind of marketing or advertisement to try to get you to spend more money with Disney over and over and over again. While I do like Disney and Disney's products, not all of them, mind you, but I like Marvel movies and Star Wars movies, and I've been to their parks. I like some of their rides and everything like that. I am firmly on the side of I'm going to Disney as nostalgia, just for the fact that nobody's actually saying it because they necessarily actually want to go to Disney. It's all marketing. So instead of that, like, how about you tell me what you're actually going to do when you win the Super Bowl, which is more likely one of three things. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to get laid, or I'm going to go to sleep because I'm fucking tired.
Or all three.
Wait. In order.
You're going to Disney for those things? What's that? Oh, sorry.
No. I was saying. Why not?
Isn't that what you go to Disney for?
To get laid?
Yeah, why not?
But no, I was saying, like, nobody's, I just won the Super Bowl. I'm going to Disney. Like, if they weren't being paid to do that.
I'm actually excited to talk about this one because I have some commentary on that.
Okay, we'll bring something fun
to the table.
You want
to
start with his? We start with his for voting.
Well, yeah, we went beginning to the end.
We go back.
I'm cool with that. Yeah.
And you can be the first vote.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, so we are talking about Super Bowl. Like, I'm going to Disney World, land, whatever. You are firmly in the, like, you're firmly in the realm of its nostalgia, right?
Not Disney specifically saying I'm going to Disney.
Yeah, I get that. Just saying that, and I get that. I absolutely agree with that. However, from another perspective, as somebody who grew up where sports was pretty integral to my life, and I've played a few different sports, and seeing something like that, one of the greatest things as a kid, seeing something like that has nothing to do with marketing, has nothing to do with going to Disney World or Disneyland, anything like that. It's literally because you have become a sporting god in front of everybody. And how cool would it be just to say that phrase? And that is just literally just saying, I'm the game, like, you know, whatever, you know, football's god right now.
And that
is just the coolest thing you can think. Yes. But it's associated now. Like, it is actually, that's what the kind of what they have done is they've created that connection. So if you're a kid, one of the coolest things you could ever think about saying is, I'm going to Disney World. That's why you still see kids or hear kids say that today. It has nothing to do with the marketing. And I get that's where it comes from.
If you're looking at it from, like, I'm a kid seeing that, I'll give you that.
And even from a young adult, like, you're in college football, something like that, you're still dreaming. You're a rookie in the NFL. You're 5 years in the NFL. What do you want to do? Go ask any of these players, because I watch some of the player podcasts and stuff like that from time to time. That's what they want to say, because everybody knows what that means. Mm. That means you just won the Super Bowl, and that is one of the coolest achievements you could ever do, the absolute pinnacle of your career. So I am actually on the side of this being cool.
So here's the funny thing. If I played football and if I had a chance, having said that, I'm like, what are you gonna do? I'm like, doesn't matter. I'm a football god. Yeah.
Especially you're only getting paid $30,000.
Right. You're gonna be one of those rare statistics of the guy who didn't do it.
And then you chug a Bud Light because they paid you $1 million instead.
There you go.
And then
I'm like, and then I have to tell him, cut.
Yeah. and be like, he's perma banned from Disneyland.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, he could.
All right. Cool for you.
Cool for me.
Andy?
Me? I think it's not nostalgia and not cool. It's like, ugh.
It's got to be one.
You
got to
choose one. Choose one.
It's nostalgia, and I don't think it's cool because I feel it's nostalgia in that it might have sounded innocent when it was first said. Really cool guerrilla marketing from Disneyland made it sound natural. Now I think it's just indoctrinating our kids to go spend money at Disney parks.
Well, they're not spending the money.
I don't think it's cool because it's cost them 30 grand.
The amount of money Disney costs, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm like,
I was literally just there last month, so I'm like, ugh.
If they had even like 50 people go in or 100 people go in, they would make that money back on what they paid for that person to say it. So I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's cool anymore. I feel like they're underpaying. Patrick Mahomes better get a bigger check this year in February than 30 grand. Ugh.
You know that man's getting paid enough regardless. How many billboards is his face on promoting all these different companies, all these commercials he's in? Sheesh.
That's what makes it nostalgia, I think. As a kid, you're like, that's awesome that everyone thinks going to Disneyland is great and I should go there one day too. And now you're like,
which is exactly the point. Yeah. It's like we're looking at the things that we grew up with, and if it came out today, would we still like it? Yeah. So
I have a quick counter to that. At my age, if they pulled me off the couch and told me to go quarterback in the game, I actually hit play here. if they told me to go play quarterback and I got in it, like MVP of the Super Bowl, I would be super stoked to say.
Well, first off,
absolutely
they would,
super stoked.
First off, they
and
would
then
make
6 months
a movie
later
about
when you woke up.
Of course, I would make money off of that. But I'd be like, if that happened today, coolest thing I ever done in my life.
Yeah. 6 months later, when he woke up from the coma because he actually got hit one time, was out. And he dreamed this whole scenario.
Let's not get into more realistic details of how this would actually play out.
Good God,
let's
dream.
Stick to the fantasy, please.
They're like, hey, you woke up from coma. What do you want to do?
I want to go to Disneyland. I want to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, probably more.
After your physical therapy, maybe.
All right.
You'd be like, where's my ring? And
deuce.
It's like, babe, your ring's on.
All right, the deuce. Is the judge, jury, and executioner here.
All right. Bring it, Punisher.
And honestly, I'm conflicted. Mm-hmm. Because, y'all have both kind of brought up the whole, the players getting paid for it, right? And what I think is interesting about the fact that they don't get paid very much, to me, makes me think they want to say it. They don't care about the money. The money is like, whatever. They want to say it because they think it's cool. But it is incredibly commercial and just kind of scummy sounding. Maybe back then it was cool, but I don't know.
In more innocent times.
Yeah, well.
We're a lot more cynical because we know how the meat is made.
1987, very innocent.
We know how the meat's made these
When's
days.
When's the MVP going to be like, I'm going to Universal Studios?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to Hogwarts Land.
I'm specifically going to that Harry Potter ride.
Universal's offer is a $100 gift voucher for the park for the players.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ride the Velocicoaster.
Velocicoaster.
So I'm conflicted, but I think if I had to choose, I'm going to go nostalgia. I'm going to go nostalgia. I'm sorry. Woo! I'm sorry, Mike.
No, I actually fully agree with you guys. I am not going to argue that at all. I'm looking at it from a perspective of like all these people, like a generations of kids have all seen that. And if you remove the cynical marketing side of it, that just means you reach the pinnacle of your sport. And that is one of the coolest things you can think of. Like there's no fewer things you can think of in life that basically says, I have reached the tippy top than that phrase. So I get it.
Being told I'm the MVP of the winning team of the Super Bowl, that's the tippy top. I don't need to be like, and I'm going to Disney.
Here we are, the cherry on the sundae.
Like I still got a sundae. I don't care about the cherry.
I just remember as kids, tons of kids. It didn't matter even the sport. It didn't have to be football. Like kids today still say it. So you know,
I don't like that Disney bought their way into pop culture by making players say it.
I mean, they bought their way in for decades.
Okay. So. Decision has been made. Yes. It's nostalgia. Tell us in the comments if we got it wrong.
All right. We need to move on to
rapid fire. Let's go.
Halftime
to me?
Michael Jackson halftime show, in which I'm still undecided myself, because it shouldn't matter what my opinion is. You guys vote. And I'm still undecided. It is, we spoke about the history of halftime, but mainly that's the first big halftime show. You look at it and you go, that's great for its time, or you think that's great even if they did that today.
All right, I'll cast the first vote. In my mind, it's still cool. In my mind, if Michael Jackson were still alive and had not ever died and went and did this, it still holds up against the modern spectacles that we have nowadays in the Super Bowl. And I think it carried a certain gravitas to it that, like, it just, it's still exciting. It would still pull in viewers. I think it's still totally cool.
It's easy for me to say, yes, I agree. It's cool. Just the fact that, one, it's Michael Jackson. I have a list of people that I kind of just run through my head every now and then of people and groups that are legendary in, you know, music, that if I had the chance, or ever do have the chance, I make sure to, you know, check off the box of seeing them live. I did that with Elton John. I did that with Queen. I just did that with Will Smith recently. And there's probably gonna be some arguments about him being legendary. I just grew up with Will Smith and loved his music. But, like, there's all kinds of bands. Like, I went and saw Guns N' Roses, and I was way late to that show. It wasn't worth seeing when I saw him. It was back when Chinese Democracy had just, like, come out. But no, just, like, groups like that. And I never got the chance to see Michael Jackson. So, like, absolutely would love to have. So, to me, like, not only is it a Michael Jackson show, so it's amazing, but the fact that there's been so many amazing shows since then because of his show, absolutely, that's cool.
All right, I'm going to be short and sweet. I absolutely agree with you guys. Michael Jackson is the man. I am not a pop guy. I would normally not listen to music like that in the genre, anything like that. I know almost every Michael Jackson song there ever was. And I wouldn't even, I would not even consider myself a huge fan of Michael Jackson, yet I know every song. And I remember specifically watching that halftime show, and it was epic. So it was absolutely cool, and if they could ever do anything half as good as that today, it'd be just lights out. Like, that's the coolest thing you ever saw.
How many artists could stand there for 90 seconds and people not get mad?
Yeah. Well, we were talking before the podcast, like, maybe Prince, when he was still alive, maybe he could have pulled that off, but that's,
Prince had a good halftime show.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But anyway, cool.
And no holograms of Prince either.
Yeah.
Before you step away from the halftime shows and go to yours, I just want to mention another halftime show that we did that I personally love, because I also, where I grew up, we listened to a lot of hip-hop, and when they had Eminem and
Dre and Snoop Dogg
and everybody, and I was like, that was a good show.
Yep. Nope. Suddenly 50 Cent kind of is hanging upside down in the little box.
When everybody was calling him Quarter Pounder, because he was not in the best shape when he did that.
And they had, like,
he had a good laugh about
Kendrick Lamar, and great, I think there was, like, someone else, wasn't there? I don't remember who else there was.
For me, it was, in that one, I love Kendrick actually a lot. His albums, I feel like, are actual albums with, like, a whole story that they go through. But, yeah, that was one of my favorite ones, too.
Okay, commercials.
All right, commercials. I just think they're cool. I have tuned in multiple times for the Super Bowl that I do not care about either team whatsoever, and especially teams where I think it's going to be, like, a super defensive game, going to be super boring, and I will still pretty much tune in just to watch the commercials just so I can be part of that, see it live, and then talk about it later with people. So I think it's still pretty cool these days. I do know there's a lot of commercialism with it. I know it makes a lot of a lot of money. Yeah, commercials. I mean, yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, it's really, like, ultra capitalistic and, you know, everything. I still think the people that are making these are, like, some of the best creatives. And I think that's actually awesome. So,
yeah, I'm going to go against that and say that the commercials are absolutely nostalgia for one reason in my head. And that's because, like, they have some amazing commercials. We literally were watching some of these and cracking up. But I don't have any commercials that come to mind that are even remotely memorable or funny or anything in well over a decade. So I'm like, if they've not done anything good in 10 plus years, are they really still cool? Some of the individual ones, absolutely still cool. But the idea in general, it's like, it's almost like it's become played out and they don't know how to do it anymore. Maybe that'll change here in a couple of weeks when we watch the, you know,
the Chiefs at Super Bowl.
Yeah, when we watch the Chiefs win again, maybe we'll end up seeing some good commercials. But, like, I've not seen any in quite some time. like the best things I've had is when they've like released new movie trailers for the first time, or like finally get to watch this movie. Like I think like the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer I think got released during the last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it's like stuff like that that I end up like enjoying, but those aren't really the commercials. That's just the movie trailer.
Yeah.
So it's nostalgia for me.
Okay. All right. And I'll go next. Yeah, I totally agree with Jeffrey on this one. Like it's so, I guess, heartbreaking because of the fact that we've had so many iconic commercials.
Yeah, you want to say past. It's cool, but yeah.
I want it to still be cool, but it's not anymore. And like as a concept, it's cool. Like as a concept of coming through, spending a bunch of money, making the most hilarious commercial or most poignant commercial that you could possibly get. I think it is a pretty cool concept, but it just, it's fallen off.
Do you guys think that it's gotten watered down by the fact that now people are way better at marketing, making those kind of commercials? Now everybody's doing the same thing, that it all just feels a little bit homogenized that there used to be standouts because those were actual standouts, where now everything's just kind of like, like there's no peaks and valleys. Do you think maybe that's a little bit of it?
I think it's really more that like a lot of them become just so generic. They mm-hmm. they don't have to be stand out. It could be all rise, all peak if they just made some good ones. But like I just don't feel like they have.
That's fair.
But I want to bring this up before I lose this train of thought because I had it earlier and then I forgot. I think the best marketing that's ever been done, and it reminded me because you mentioned how much commercials cost nowadays, is it's like for like what like 30 seconds, it's like, you know, $10 million or something ridiculous like that. The fact that I think it was Miller High Life to get as many commercials as they could for that amount of money, instead of having a 30-second commercial, they had 31-second commercials. So it literally would end a commercial, and then something like, High Life! And it goes to the next commercial.
Sorry, Turtle.
But it just did like that over and over between a bunch of commercials throughout the entire Super Bowl.
High Life!
But anyways, sorry. Go ahead.
So for me, nostalgia as well. Andy, what do you think?
Well, my vote doesn't count anymore. I was like, oh, I get to be the judge.
Yeah,
this
but your
time.
Argument like, does.
My argument is, okay, I was very anti-commercial last time, right? Like it was very commercial. I think with half these commercials, these ads, everyone knows these are not ads for me to change my mind and go do something cool. No kids watch. It's like all just spectacle. No one's watching it and going like, oh, yeah, I should go get my taxes done on this website now. Like, it's all spectacle. And so I'm like, waste your money as much as you want because it's all just for fun.
So you're saying you didn't watch that commercial and immediately go to TurboTax.com?
No, I did not.
Are we sponsored by TurboTax?
I use TurboTax.
If anyone, our local H&R Block. That's where you need to go. They're a local company. But yeah, I feel they're cool, and notwithstanding the quality part of it. Yes, from the last few years, I'm struggling to remember one thing. I think they did another version of the Clydesdales or something, but I'm still struggling to remember any ad that like stood out. They're just making boring stuff. And it's not as funny anymore. I think who's the other writer in Seinfeld, other than Seinfeld?
Don't ask me a Seinfeld question. I didn't like that show.
Who's the other writer in Seinfeld?
Oh, I don't know.
Larry David. Oh, Larry right. David going and talking about that crypto company and then that company just completely tanking is hilarious to me. But yes, the taste has been ruined a little with a lot of the crypto ads that came through.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on crypto
just,
or anything.
Like you saw big stars doing
anybody
that.
Buying any of that Trump coin?
Well, if you bought Bitcoin, it's so doing amazing now.
That's a thing now.
Bitcoin is doing amazing now. So my take from the concept, not judging the individual ads, but the concept, I love it that they're trying to outdo each other by throwing money at these things and trying to be funny. And they lost the funny in it a little bit. But I hope they keep trying to do that because that's the best waste of money I can think of from those corporations. Mainly because I'm not going to see that as a commercial, just like some spectacle.
But see, the whole point of the commercial is to make you remember the company name, right? And potentially actually use their products. So to me, I'm like,
that's the whole point.
Like, make something great and memorable like they did in the 90s up to the 2010 era. And you remember that. So, like, why are we doing all this generic crap now? But, you know.
My view, still, your personally, boat, cool is, I just want it to be a cool thing to look.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's cool that they're still trying to make these things.
They're still going.
Instead of being like, isn't it cheaper just
well,
to buy
nostalgia
some Reddit
wins,
space?
So.
Yeah.
Puppy bowl.
Thanks for your opinion. Nostalgia wins.
Now, fuck off. Yeah.
Okay, so lastly, we've got the Puppy Bowl. Mm-hmm. And like I said, whenever I went into the research on this one, I was very firmly on the side of nostalgia. Except when I heard about the mission of it, except when I heard about how they do so much to try to make it entertaining. And it's just good, clean
the
fun.
Fact that they make all the animals adoptable, like right then
right,
and there.
Right. There's a lot of it that is a genuinely good thing. And they have been increasing in viewership. So it changed my mind, and I'm at the point to where I say, I think the Puppy Bowl is cool.
I'll go. I'm with you. Puppy Bowl is cool. They do way too many good things. There is so much fun that goes into it, and they have like just so many different ways to make money for dogs that are in need, animals that are in need, raising awareness. Just like, you know, the charities and stuff like that, just even the dogs they use are all adoptable. That will never not be cool for me. That's awesome. That is peak humanity for me. So I am definitely on the side of that being cool.
All right. I'm going to go next and I'll tell you why in a second.
All right.
All right. I am rating this specifically on the Puppy Bowl, not the mission they have, not the fact that they're doing this charitable work.
It's part of it. It's part of it.
No. It is the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah, turn around. Go attack him.
Those and also me. Because you're a heartless bitch.
Yeah. I already know what this guy's going to say.
Yeah.
I'm saying this for a reason. Hold on.
Hurry up and make your point. We got a game to watch.
You're saying it for a bad reason.
The fact they're doing these great things is amazing. I totally agree.
And they talk about it during the show.
But I'm literally just going based on watching puppies and commentators going like, oh, look at that one. He knocked him down. That kind of stuff. Like, I can't just say, oh, they're doing this great stuff and other people watch it, so that makes it cool. No. It's supposed to be what I think, what I watch is. I think I've seen...
He's not a child.
Four puppy bowls. Right? And of those puppy bowls, I've seen about 90 seconds of each one. And I was just like, can we change the damn channel? It's, like, I find it so boring.
It's almost as if it wasn't made for him.
Right? Exactly. So that's the thing. Like, so I'm absolutely on the side of nostalgia for it, not taking into account the work they're doing to adopt animals, because my dogs and cats are all adopted. So I totally support that mission and making sure you're adopting
you can't
animals.
Redeem
no,
but
no, there is no redemption here. I'm
we're
sorry.
Grading.
You hate
we're
all animals.
Specifically, what the Puppy Bowl is, watching the Puppy Bowl, not the mission. Because if that's the case, when we're rating other things, like, well, they also do charitable donations. No. We're rating this. The Puppy Bowl for me is nostalgia. Now, the reason I wanted to go next is because you said a second ago that you wanted to be the decision maker. So I jumped in line, even though I don't know what you were going to say, so that you could be the decision maker.
All right, Andy. Let's hear it. No. Let's hear it, Andy.
Thanks
let's go.
For your opinion, but it's cool.
I figured that's what you were going to say. That's why I jumped in line.
I've never seen the Puppy Bowl. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Go watch it for 3 hours and tell me if you'd watch it every year.
I don't need to watch it for 3 hours. My angle is I don't need to find the entire show cool just to think that, oh, that's a cool thing they're doing. That's how I view it, because I would think, like, I'm just going to put it on as, that's what I was thinking this year, I should just put it on as background on the TV, just running while everyone's getting ready.
Yeah, I don't even
so
do
that is going on. Look at this heartless guy. He's like, I wouldn't even do
I
that.
I can love puppies and not what? Love the Puppy
this
Bowl.
This man kicks puppies for fun.
Sound off in the comments, guys. Just blast him.
Does he
put
kick,
him under the ground.
Does he kick puppies for fun, yes or no? I mean, it's binary. It's
my,
one
my
or the other.
My God, you guys better not put that in the comments to vote on our channel.
My caveat is that it should be an hour at most. I don't know why it's 3 hours like long movie, but yeah. Feel like that's really long
because it's a telethon and they're trying to raise money.
I know. Oh yeah, that probably makes sense. They want more people to call in.
I don't know if they're actually raising money. But
I don't think no one does it anymore.
I don't think that's part of it.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was just being silly about
what year is it?
Hello, puppy ball. Do you want to make a donation to save the puppies?
Woke up out of my cryo sleep.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I think it's still cool. I'm so surprised that it's gaining traction, getting bigger. Though I think it's also probably the one of the best things.
There must be nothing else on TV during that time.
Obviously.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So our decision.
It's best fitting for social media to have on TikTok and things like that. I think.
What's TikTok?
Puppy ball. Oh yeah, it's gone.
It's gone tomorrow.
Instagram Reels is the best place. Yeah.
No, it's not. So our decision is made. It's cool at Jeffrey Kicks Puppies.
Jeffrey Kicks
Puppies. Not just it's cool. It's cool. And
I mean, you guys could vote on it, but, you know, I'll be there too.
Jeffrey, the puppy kick for her.
So it's decided. We've got cool on the puppy bowl. We've got
nostalgia on ads.
It was cool.
Cool on.
Cool on the,
MJ is cool. I get it. Yeah.
On, yeah. And
I don't know. What did mine find? You guys voted.
You voted nostalgia.
I voted nostalgia, but I don't know what you guys voted.
I'm going to Disney was nostalgia.
It was nostalgia. It was nostalgia. Overall.
Oh, that's right, you were the only cool.
I was the only cool on that. Mine was very specific, but I understood you guys. I get the argument.
I think we're done for now. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Is It Cool or Just Nostalgia? And once again, let us know if you agreed with us. Subscribe to our channel. Like us. Watch us. Listen to us.
Pray to us.
Yeah. Love us, please. Oh, geez. We're so desperate.
Yeah. It always feels desperate when you
hashtag
hear that.
Jeffrey
so.
Kicks puppies.
Yes.
And yeah, that's all we need. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's the show. Oh, thank you, everyone.
All right. Later, all.